So I just said, okay, I'm forgiving everyone. I'm letting go of everything and I'm moving on. But there was one instance that I never talked about with anyone, still. Mm-hmm. I talked about all the stuff that I was hurt from and that I did to people. I forgave myself, all that. But there's one thing that happened when I was a kid that I never told a soul.
Oh, honey. Welcome to the Oh Honey podcast,
where you get the sticky and the sweet with Summer
and Amanda and Lewis.
Sticky and sweet, what's in the middle then?
TBD.
Okay.
Yeah, TBD. Well, Lewis is an entrepreneur, lifestyle, and business coach, and you have a very successful podcast of your own.
Yeah.
So where can they find you?
School of Greatness.
School of Greatness. And you have a book.
We've got a couple books. Yeah, it's called School of Greatness and Mask of Masculinity. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
And it's about kind of...
Well, the first book, School of Greatness, is about the principles of the greatest individuals in the world, how they became great.
Love that.
The second one, Mask of Masculinity, is more of a deep topic. It's about how men can open up and be more vulnerable.
No, I love that. That's such a huge topic, too, because most men feel like they have to be super masculine and like can't show their emotions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how we were raised, you know, in the Midwest. I was raised that way through society, through other, you know, boys kind of making fun of you if you ever showed emotion.
Yeah.
Through media, whatever. But just like how women have been raised to always look perfect and always be skinny and always, whatever, say the right things, whatever it is, the pressure you guys have.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. It's just pressure on both sides.
Both sides, yeah.
So how did you kind of get, I know you probably talk a lot about it in your book, but for here today, for our listeners, how were you able to, you know, just kind of put society's like thoughts and pressures aside? And
well, when I was, how deep are we going here on this show?
We're going deep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, my entire life I was driven by achievement and success and by looking good. You know, I wanted everyone to like me. I wanted everyone to recognize that I was talented. And so I was driven to prove people wrong who said I couldn't do things. So all in my teens and my 20s, I just did things to win and be successful and to look good. And it worked in the sense that it helped me like achieve certain things. I was a professional athlete. I was a two-sport All-American. I built a, you know, multi-million dollar business and sold it. And I was still unhappy inside constantly. And I didn't know why. Then when I hit 30 years old, about 6 years ago, I remember just asking myself, like, why am I still upset and angry all the time? Why am I frustrated in relationships? Why in business is there always conflict? You know, it just felt like I was always in conflict with myself internally. But on the outside, everyone was like, man, you have a great life. Mm-hmm. Like, you're achieving everything. Everything looks to be going well. On the inside, I felt alone. I felt insecure. I felt really messed up. And so I started to go down a journey of asking myself, like, what's wrong with me? Like, why do I feel alone? Why do I feel insecure? Why do I feel like, I remember I went through a breakup 6.5 years ago, and I was just laying in my bed for 2 weeks watching the show Weeds. Do you guys remember watching the show?
Yeah.
I watched, I think it was like 80 something episodes, 2 weeks nonstop. I didn't want to leave. I just ordered pizza every day. And I was like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
And I remember I just lacked a lot of emotional courage from this breakup and the relationship. I was like needing someone to really like me and someone to want me. And it was just very emotional up and down. My business was falling apart. And I was just asking myself, why am I feeling this way? Mm-hmm. And so I started to do a bunch of work on myself at that point. When I was 30 years old, I went to a bunch of workshops. I hired therapists, coaches, like anyone I could find who could help me. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's wrong with me? And there was one experience I did that got me to address everything in my life, got me to open up about every instant in my past, forgive my parents for stuff, forgive my siblings, forgive friends, like everything, and forgive myself. And I talked about everything from being picked on as a kid, from being in special needs classes, from, you know, I was dyslexic growing up, so it was really challenging for me to read and write. Everything. My brother went to prison for 4 years when I was a kid for selling drugs, so I didn't have friends during that time. So I just said, okay, I'm forgiving everyone, I'm letting go of everything, and I'm moving on. But there was one instance that I never talked about with anyone, still. Mm-hmm. I talked about all the stuff that I was hurt from and that I did to people. I forgave myself, all that. But there was one thing that happened when I was a kid that I never told a soul, and that's that I was sexually abused when I was 5 by a man that I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
And it really shaped my entire childhood. Mm-hmm. And I finally opened up about that publicly about 6 years ago, and I've opened up a bunch about it now. And when I started to open up about it, I realized, like, wow, there was so much pain trapped inside of me from holding on to, like, this shame, this guilt, mm-hmm. this insecurity, this feeling like no one would ever love me if they actually knew that a man sexually abused me.
Yeah.
Like, why would anyone ever love me? Mm. So I think I was always trying to prove people wrong because of those moments as a kid. And when I finally opened up, like, I started to heal and I started to have peace in my heart for the first time. And it's been an incredible journey since then.
What was the realization that you had of why, like, people will still love you? You know, it's like, how you're 5 years old.
I know.
There's nothing on you.
I think it's irrational. I think it's like, you know, my mind was just like, if someone, because when I was conditioned as a young boy, like as a 8, 9, 10 through my teen years, I remember I played sports all the time. And I remember just wanting to, like, put my arm around my teammates. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my teammates would be like, get off me, fag. No, don't be gay.
Oh, really?
Don't be gay. You know, it's like, if I just put my arm around a buddy.
Really?
Yeah, it was just kind of the mentality. Yeah. You know, it's like, I think boys weren't comfortable with that type of affection. Even if it was just like, I put my hand on your shoulder, it was like, get off me. You know,
like,
don't be gay.
Almost,
It's just kind of like a mentality, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, you know, I don't know, whether that's through media or through other kids picking on them. Mm-hmm. So I remember always wanting to just put my arm around a buddy and just, like, give a guy a hug.
Yeah.
As, like, a 9-year-old boy, you know, innocent.
So sweet.
Yeah, very innocent. But being made wrong for it. Mm. And so then I told myself, well, maybe I'm wrong. Like, this happened to me when I was 5. So if someone knew about this, like, they would shame me forever.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, if they wanted to let me put their arm around them as a friend, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm a straight guy. It wasn't like I was gay trying to do something. Mm-hmm. And so that shame, like, sat with my heart for years, for decades. And I just was in so much pain that I was like, I'm gonna prove everyone wrong. I'm gonna get so big, so strong that no one will ever take advantage of me. I'm gonna be so dominant in every sport that I do. I'm gonna be so successful that people have to acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. And kind of, like, mask the shame that I was feeling. And I think, unfortunately, when I started opening up about sexual abuse, I started to research this because I thought I was the only one in the world that this happened to. I never saw examples of other, you know, white, straight, jock-looking dudes who were also successful in business talking about being sexually abused. Mm-hmm. Never once did I see someone publicly talk about it. I'm sure, it was in the media, maybe I saw it, but I just blocked it out.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a constant thing where I saw men sharing this. And then when I started opening up about it, I was in a 5-day workshop and I opened up about it. There was probably about 50 other men in the room. Or 50 other people in the room, and about half of them are men. I opened up about it and ran out of the room crying because I was just so ashamed at what I just shared. I was afraid that everyone was going to make fun of me. No. I ran out of the room. I was crying. I was like, I'm not going back in this room. And then one of the most beautiful things happened. All the men from the room came out one by one, looked me in the eyes, and they were like, I love you. You're my hero.
Oh, it's so sweet.
And one by one, a lot of the men were just like, this happened to me when I was 11 and no one knows. This happened when I was 13. My wife doesn't know. I've got 3 kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? This has happened to other men? Mm. And it was an eye opener for me. And I realized, like, very few men have talked about it with their girlfriend or spouse or their kids or their families. And it builds up these walls and what I like to call masks on men, where they have to project something to fit in. They have to project that they're strong, that they're funny, that they're successful, so that they can fit into society. And I just wanted to recognize for myself, okay, you know, I'm gonna wear masks my whole life. I'm gonna, you know, be aggressive at times or be angry or be funny when I'm not supposed to be funny. I'm gonna wear certain masks. But I wanna be aware of it and recognize it and not let it define me. And I think when men can start to heal their trauma from the past, when they can start to share the things they're ashamed of, whether that's to a therapist or to their family or to friends, it doesn't have to be publicly, but when they can start to deal with the things inside that have been holding them back for so long, then they can live with freedom and peace. And I think that's what we're all looking for, is how do we have inner peace as we go through this chaotic world?
Yeah. Well, you probably, congratulations. I don't know the proper word for that, but for being able to come out about that and just you probably helped so many people with that too.
Yeah, I was gonna say you've inspired so many other men to be open about what's happened to them.
Yeah, and when I started researching it, I realized that 1 in 6 men have been sexually abused.
So crazy.
It's 1 in 4 for women.
Yeah.
1 in 6 men, and I started doing talks about it in workshops, and I wrote a book about this called Mask of Masculinity. And as I was doing my tour around this book, I would have, a few hundred people show up to these events, about half men and half women. Mm. And I would ask the room, I'd say, if you're a woman, raise your hand if you get together with your girlfriends once a week and you talk about body issue challenges, relationship challenges, insecurities, fears, whatever, career challenges, raise your hand. Every woman would raise their hand for, once a week they get together and talk to at least one girlfriend. And I said, keep your hand up if you do this every day.
Yeah.
And almost everyone is like, every day we have lunch or I'm on the phone with my girlfriends talking, about something.
Always venting,
An insecurity, a challenge, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I go, okay, for the men, raise your hand if you get together once a month with a group of guys and you talk about your insecurities and your fears and your body challenges, body issue challenges, your career challenges, your marriage challenges. And maybe 2 or 3 guys would raise their hand. And I would say, are you guys part of a church group that's planned once a month to get together for an hour? Mm-hmm. And most of them were like, yes.
Oh, really?
It's it's not as accessible for men to share openly. And then I did more research. 48% of men say they don't have one male friend they can open up to and talk about their insecurities to or their fears or their challenges. So imagine, both of you, if you never shared with anyone about your fears, your insecurities, your relationship challenges.
It'd be a mess.
Imagine just not expressing it to one girlfriend or to a group of girlfriends in a year.
It'd just be
in 10 years.
Yeah, probably have a lot of mistaken anger.
A lot of anger, right?
Yeah.
And so you look at the political dis-ease that we have, the attacks, the racial marches, all the shootings, the mass shootings in America. If you stem back to it, it's almost 100% of those instances are from men who are, that we learn more about them, that they didn't have any close friendships, that they were angry for years, that they probably never shared about their insecurities and their challenges. I'm not saying sharing your fears and insecurities is gonna make you not a bad person.
It's gonna better you.
It's gonna better you to not feeling the shame and loneliness, which is the cause of a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And that's why girls vent, is to get it out.
Get it out.
Yeah. We don't get out.
It's toxic, but once you talk about it, how do you guys feel?
So much better.
Maybe it doesn't solve the problem.
Right. Yeah.
But at least you're not living with this disease in your soul where you carry it the rest of the day.
Right, yeah. Even if we do hold it in, if there's something that's bothering us for a day and we hold it in, it's we just need it. You just find a random person at the grocery store, you're just let it out.
Exactly.
Because you need it out.
Random, at the counter or something.
How's your day? I'm like, do you really want to know?
A little stressed out on aisle 7.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
But you feel so much better when you just talk.
Yeah.
And for 25 years, I didn't talk about something that was my biggest pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it would come out in situations. It would come out. Luckily, I had sports for so long that I was legally allowed to beat people up, in football, right?
It's it out that way.
I didn't get in trouble, but then once sports was over and I didn't have an outlet to express myself, to get that energy out, you take it out on friends, on business partners, you get quick with people who are cutting you off in LA traffic. I remember one time, this is sad for me to say this, I remember one time 6 years ago when everything was going wrong on the inside. I remember I was driving West Hollywood off Melrose, and I was pulling up to a stop sign, and I looked left, and as I'm pulling up, there's a runner coming, trying to cross the road, who I didn't see, and he stops before he gets in my car, and he punches my car. And I remember it just instantly triggered me, and it felt like someone was trying to abuse me.
Yeah.
They punched my physical car, and he flipped me off or something. It was an instant response. There was no breathe and relax and meditate. It was I am going to kill this human being. Because it brought me back to a place of feeling taken advantage of. And every time I felt taken advantage of, I would have this reaction. Now, I was a very loving guy, just wanted to hug everyone and smile and just have fun until I felt taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to control it. So I remember driving, the guy like ran off and I drove off after this guy.
You're chasing him.
I start chasing him down, screaming, and he crosses the street, I cross the street. I literally stop and get out of my car to run down this runner. That's how bad it got.
Yeah.
Now he ended up, he kept like zigging, zagging and like got scared and I was like, okay. I had enough time to be like, okay,
you're
this
like,
is stupid. What am I doing? I'm
you're
chasing
like,
down a guy who like punched my car. Okay.
Yeah.
And, but that's the stuff I would do. Mm-hmm. You know, I would just react. I would play basketball and I would react and I want to fight people. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Mm-hmm. And thankfully I had enough awareness. I remember my friend was with me in one basketball game and I got in a fight with this, you know, whatever, 25-year-old punk for no reason, just like a zero stakes, fun basketball game, pickup game in West Hollywood, the mean streets of West Hollywood,
yeah, right?
Got in a fight with this kid over nothing, just because we were talking trash and I felt like I was being taken advantage of. My friend was with me and he goes, dude, I don't want to be your friend anymore. This is one of my best friends from college. We played college football together. He's like, I just, every time something happens when I'm around you, you react and you get in a fight.
I like that friend though, just being
a great friend.
Yeah.
Because he made me like shift and be like, okay, yeah. I can't keep doing this behavior. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to lose my best friend over something stupid.
Are you guys still friends or?
Yeah, we're best friends.
He was really like,
no, we're best friends. No, we're best friends. We work together. He's amazing. But that's when I was like, okay, I need to start looking within and seeing like what is going on. And that's when I started calling every therapist friend I know. I went to every, you know, workshop, Tony Robbins, other stuff. I was just like, what do I need to do? Because I was like, my life is working on the outside. Like everything I do and put my mind to, I achieve. So I never thought anything was wrong with me. I was like, every goal I've set, I make it come true. So I've got the answers. I was so egotistical. I was so cocky about it. I was just like, I don't need help. I know this stuff. And then when my friend checked me, I was like, I need to do something. Like, okay, this is real.
Yeah, that was like your moment, ultimatum moment.
Huge wake-up call.
Yeah. Well, what would you say out of all the things that, because you said you went to Tony Robbins, met with different therapists.
Yeah.
Was there one that really stood out to you? That
There was an emotional intelligence workshop here in LA that I did that was 5 days long. And it just, it was like a lot of different games and exercises that would have us role-playing with people in the group. To kind of take you back into your past of like, okay, this is your mom in front of you. What do you want to say to your mom? This is your, it was like, you know, it went there. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah. It sounds like that it's just myself and maybe it's something that I need to get over to, but it sounds like something that would make me very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave every day.
But that's what helped you.
I was like, I don't need this. I teach this stuff. Like I'm good. I help people with this stuff already. I wanted to leave every day. I thought I was better than everyone. And it was really just my walls holding me back from addressing what I really needed to talk about. And the first half of the five-day workshop, we were going through everything from our past. And at one point, the trainer of the workshop was like, okay, we are moving forward to figure out the vision you want for your life in the future. Like your goals, your dreams, the types of relationships you want to have, your health. We're creating a clear game plan for your future. But we had to address the past first in every area of your life in order for you to clear it up, forgive, move on, everything. So he goes, if there's anything you haven't addressed yet that you need to address, like now is the moment, otherwise we're moving forward. And I remember I was just like sitting there in the room with everyone. I was kind of going through everything in my head. I was like, I talked about like my parents going through a divorce and like always fighting as a kid and how that affected me. I talked about, you know, all the breakups with girlfriends in the past and address that. I talked about, you know, feeling picked on and bullied in school, all this stuff. Being dyslexic, I was like, I talked about it all and I let it go. And then I was like, well, what about that one thing that I think about all the time? Like every day it comes to my mind. How come I've never shared this with anyone? And for whatever reason, I think the whole room was vulnerable. People were opening up about different stuff. And I was just determined to figure out what was, you know, wrong with me or what was happening. That I was like, oh shoot, I think I need to share this. And if I don't share it now, I'll probably never share it in my life. Because I was 30 at that time and I never talked about it. So I stood up in the room. I walked to the front. I remember looking down at the carpet. It looked similar like this. It had similar patterns. And I couldn't look anyone in the eyes. I was just staring down at the carpet. And everyone was in like a semicircle around. And I just started talking. I was like, when I was 5 years old, I was at the babysitter's and I went through the whole story. And I finished and I walked back to my seat and sat down, and it was just like an eruption of bawling. I could not stop crying. It was just like coming out of me. My heart was pounding. I was shaking. It was just like crying. And thankfully there was a woman on each side of me. I was like in the middle of both of you, and you guys were like hugging me in this moment.
Because you were okay to hug.
Yeah, exactly. But these women were bawling. These women were, crying their eyes out. I mean, I think it was very hard for the whole room to see this, 6'4", strong looking man to open up about this, because a lot of people hadn't heard stories like that.
Yeah.
So I think for them, they were, affected. And the men in the room who'd been sexually abused who didn't talk about it, it affected them. The women who'd have been sexually abused, it affected them. Mm-hmm. And so I think there was a lot of healing for the whole room. And I remember I was just like, I gotta get out of here. I couldn't stop crying. Mm-hmm. So I ran out of the room. And then, a few minutes later, one by one, the men came out. Like, I remember a guy like tapped me on my shoulder because I was just crying against a wall like this. And a guy like tapped me on my shoulder. I turned around and he just hugged me. He was like, you're my hero. And I was like, what? I was like, the thing I've been most afraid of my whole life made me a hero to talk about.
Yeah.
Like the thing that I didn't want anyone to know. And the next guy came up to me. He was like, I trust you with my life. He was like, for you to be able to open up about that, He was like, I trust you with anything. Mm-hmm. Anything you do, I'll trust you. I'll follow you anywhere. I was like, what? I was like, the thing I'm the most afraid of.
You built a pack.
And then like all the men just came out and started telling me their stories, the ones who'd been sexually abused. And I was just like, this is insane.
Yeah.
And I just had to learn more. I had to learn more about this problem that a lot of men have faced, obviously women as well. So I just went down the journey of like going deeper. I remember after this workshop, I was still afraid to tell people, right? I was like, this is like a safer place where no one knows me, but my family didn't know. My friends don't know. Can I tell them? Are they going to disown?
You held it from your family too.
No one knew. I didn't tell a soul for 25 years.
Wow.
So I remember being like, I have to tell my family. Mm-hmm. And I remember I called a therapist friend of mine. We're getting deep here. I apologize.
No.
I called a therapist friend of mine and I told her what had happened. And I go, I'm really scared to tell my family. How would you even set the conversation up to tell them? And she gave me a piece of advice that was amazing that I'll always remember. She said, you want to make sure you tell them when they're receptive. Anything, whether it's a sexual abuse or something that you're afraid of in your life, you want to tell a friend, a family member, when you feel like they're able to receive the information, because they may not be able to receive it. Mm-hmm. So I want you to ask them this question, each one of them first, and do it one-on-one. I want you to ask them, is there anything that I could ever say or do that would make you not love me? And just listen to what they say, listen to the response. If they start to, question it and be worried, then maybe it's not the right time. Mm-hmm. But if they're like, it doesn't matter what you ever say or do, like I'm always gonna love you. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, my whole family, we're all pretty messed up human beings. We've all been through trauma and, crazy stuff in our lives, that all of them were like, absolutely not. Like, it doesn't matter what you ever say, what you ever do, I'll always love you. And so it kind of gave me permission to be like, okay, I can open up to them. Mm-hmm. And the most beautiful thing happened is when I opened up with my siblings, my parents about it. Yes, it was very like hard for them. And it was very challenging for my mom, because my mom's the one who found the babysitter, and it was the babysitter's son. It was like a teenage boy. Wow. So she felt responsible and it like weighed on her for months. But each one of them, during that hour conversation we had, each one, they kind of opened up to me about stuff that I didn't know about them.
Oh, wow.
So it brought me closer together with each one of my siblings and my parents. And it brought us together. Mm-hmm. It's like the vulnerabilities we have when we share them at the right time with the right people can make those relationships stronger.
Yeah, it had the opposite effect of...
And I thought they were going to disown me.
Yeah.
I was like, they're never going to love me, right? Yeah. And so then I started telling my friends one by one. And that was scary. But I just set it up. I was like, is there anything I could ever say or do that make you not like me, or make you not want to be friends with me? Same thing.
Same tactic. You were like, all right,
and then,
this is good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I opened up about it publicly. After 6 months, my friends were like, you got to share this on your podcast, because I had a show that was out. And I was like, there's no effing way I'm going to share this with the world. I'm terrified. And I remember thinking that, being like, because I'm terrified, I need to do it. I need to keep talking about it until my body doesn't shake. Because that moment still has power over me, and I don't want it to have power anymore. And so I kept talking about it until I felt fully free. And I remember opening up about it on my show, and it just like broke the internet in my world, because hundreds of essays came in from men sharing their story for the first time about their sexual abuse story. So it's been a beautiful journey, and didn't know I was going this deep with you guys, but.
No, it's incredible. Thank you
for
sharing it.
Of course.
It's just, you never really know what somebody is going through just by looking at them. So
right.
I think that's just like, you know, something for everybody to keep in mind too, in the back of their heads, is just to be kind to everybody, because you never know.
It's funny you say that, because I feel like, I don't know if you ladies have ever felt this way, but I feel like people are constantly judging me.
Yeah.
I feel like based on the way I look, based on the way things I do, based on the way I talk, whatever, I feel like I'm being judged. And
like,
maybe you guys
judging my braids today? They're
right?
A little
judging
crazy.
Everything. Like, it might be. I don't know, because you guys are big personalities online, I'm sure you're constantly judged.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to think about me? What am I going to think about, you know, if I'm wearing a bandana, if I'm wearing the jewelry, whatever. It's like, I don't even know the type of judgments that women feel. But I know that for me, I've been fighting my whole life to break the mold of judgments. Okay, you're a tall jock. That's what, like, all girls are going to assume, like, I'm just this jerk, this asshole that's like...
Stereotype.
The stereotypical jock. Mm-hmm. I remember going, I'm a big salsa dancer. I think I saw you like salsa dancing recently.
I love salsa.
I've been salsa dancing.
See, I would have never known you do salsa.
I know, I've been salsa dancing for 14 years.
What?
I've traveled the world to the best salsa clubs. It's one of my favorite passions.
I'm going to get a list from you.
Every Wednesday night, Sofitel here in West Hollywood. It's
what?
Amazing.
I didn't even know that.
It's amazing.
I always went to Descarga or Floridita.
Floridita's too small.
Yeah, it's tiny.
I can't move in there.
It's
I'm a giant. You know, I'm a giant.
I
take up the whole dance floor.
It's like grandparents in there and like...
I know, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah,
but then everyone's watching you eating their like food. Yeah,
yeah, it's interesting.
That's what I'm going to be doing while you guys are dancing.
I'm gonna
be...
balance.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Wednesday nights, bring your man. It's fun.
Yeah.
Live salsa band. It's great.
Fun.
And I went to this club for the first time, I don't know, a few months ago. And I'm always judged at a salsa club. It's like, I have to break down barriers, because I'm like this tall white boy.
Yeah.
In like, you know, a sea of amazingly talented, mostly Latin community. And I always give myself a challenge. I say, okay, I know I'm going to get rejected. Like in the first time in a club. People are just going to assume that, one, I can't dance because I'm like this tall guy. Two, that I have like a big ego or something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to judge me. And so I try to be as disarming as possible. I try to have no flash, like just a black t-shirt, simple, nothing crazy. And I went to this club in West Hollywood and I try to dance with people all the time. And these girls just look at me and they're like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then
be twirled.
Exactly. And then I'll go and dance. I'll find someone who will dance with me. And then they'll always come back later and they're like, I'm so sorry. Can you dance? Can we dance together?
Yeah.
They're always like, come back later.
Yeah.
Right. Once they see that, like, I'm a gentleman, like I'm actually, you know, I can dance, like all these things. And it's funny. I just constantly tell people, always like, I'm sorry I judged you.
Yeah.
And I think we're faced with that as human beings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly judging the people we see. Like, I don't know your guys' lives. I only see what I see online. But that's not who you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, we always talk about that, because, like, for me, I'm like a girl who, like, shows my body and all this stuff. So people think I'm a certain way when it's, like, I'm not that. Like, I'm literally
the opposite.
It's so interesting you say that, because I started dating someone a few months ago who is very similar. Like, shows her body a lot online and Instagram and stuff. And I had a judgment around her before I met her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met her and I was like, wait, this isn't, what, who are you? Like,
yeah.
And she was like, yeah, this is just marketing. You know,
yeah.
I just give people what they want. But she's like the sweetest woman in the world with the biggest heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no matter who someone is or what they project online, you still shouldn't judge them.
Mm-hmm.
You still shouldn't do it, because there's always something else inside, so.
What if?
Yeah.
Scenario.
Yep.
What if somebody you were dating was projecting an image online that you just did not like? Like, it was just like, maybe they were doing like pranks or like doing things, you know, but it's
if it was hurtful to people.
Yeah.
then I probably wouldn't be with someone if they were doing hurtful things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it was only them, you know, mm-hmm. projecting something. I think years ago, I probably would have judged him and been like, I don't know if I want to be with someone like that, mm-hmm. you know, who like shows her butt or shows this, whatever, all mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking probably years ago, being like, I don't know. But that's a bad judgment on my part because mm-hmm. this woman's incredible.
Yeah, you're like, I would have missed out.
She's she's my dream, you know. She's yeah. like a dream human being.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys meet?
He slid into the DMs.
Yeah, imagine.
That's how she got you.
We were both in relationships. She started following me a couple of years ago, actually, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I knew who she was because she was a big personality. And I was like, oh, well, okay, she's cute, you know. But I was in a relationship, and she was as well. And I just said, hey, like, thanks for the follow, you know.
You
I
mean,
I
was did? Like,
I just messed her a gentleman. You can see all my DMs and everything. I was a gentleman. Uh-huh. I said, hey, thanks for the follow. If I can ever help with anything, let me know. Mm-hmm. Just very neutral. And she said, you know, I've been following your work and your videos, and I'm really inspired by you. I want to get your book. And I go, yeah, just send me your address. I'll send you a copy. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That was all the communication. And then I saw that she had gone through a breakup like a year and a half later. And I remember reaching out, DMing her, just saying, hey, like, hope everything's going good. If I can help with anything, let me know. And she said, oh, I just went through a breakup, like, you know, I'm stressing or whatever, but I'll be okay. And I said, cool, well, let me know if I can support, you know, mm-hmm. if you need help. Again, never, I was still in a relationship. And then, but I remember thinking at that time, I was like, gosh, this is like she's a pretty inspiring woman, but I'm in a relationship. So I like didn't allow myself to go there.
Yeah.
Then I went through a breakup probably 6 months afterwards. And I remember about a week after my breakup, I was like, okay, now the relationship should have been over a couple of years prior.
I was like, about to say,
we had been off and on. We were in therapy for months because I tried to break up and she wanted to keep trying it. And I was emotionally
gone. Tell though by you responding to...
Very neutral though.
Yeah. But very neutral.
Very neutral.
But neutral also, enough, but if you're happy in a relationship, I think you don't give
any
about
any of them. Yeah, you just don't care.
You don't even want to help them out.
Not to say that.
But I'm a very helpful person all the time with I don't know.
No, yeah,
it's a different personality.
But it's,
I know what you mean though.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Yeah. It's very neutral.
Because the way you say it is like, yeah, if she needs help with anything, and then you're like, girl, damn, this girl's great.
She's a good girl. Like, I really, really like this girl, but I have a girlfriend.
But I was helping a lot of people, you know? Yeah. I'm always helping people, so I know what you guys are saying.
I know, you never did any actions that would make you, like...
Compromise anything.
Yeah.
And she
in
actually...
In the back of your head, you're like...
In my mind, I was like, I kind of, like, wanted to be single, just in general, because
we
were going through so much.
See, that's how you know when you shouldn't be with someone. When you, in your head, want to be single,
we would talk about breaking up every month. You know, we would talk about... stuff. I ended it, and then she was like, no, we need to go to therapy, and I was
which
like...
Which was so kind of, like, you went through the process with her to help her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried my best. She's a great girl, but we weren't the right match.
Yeah.
And I remember, and I should have ended it a lot sooner, but I remember, like, in my mind being like, gosh, is this the right thing for me? Like, every day I would be like, is this the right thing for me? Mm-hmm. But I cared about her, and I loved mm-hmm. her, and it was just like I was torn, and I was like, I want to be a good guy, I want to, like... not run away from my problems. I want to work through this. Every relationship has challenges. Like, I'm going to do my best.
Yeah.
With the therapy, everything, right? But I remember seeing her go through this breakup and being like, God, I kind of wish I was single right now. You know, it's like, kind of remember thinking that.
Like, us.
I wonder what this would be like, right?
Because she was. Do you need some help?
But then that was it.
Do you need me to help live some neutrally?
The cool thing about it is like, we were both like very respectful when we were in relationships.
Yeah.
Like, just like, hey, I'm a fan. Here's my book. Like, cool. Let me know if I can help. That was it.
Yeah.
It's very simple. So you can see like all our strength.
I promise you.
Because I think she really respects me for that because she gets hit on. I'm sure like you guys, she gets hit on by every like famous person, every like whatever, football player, everything, pop star and stuff like that. And she,
football player.
Yeah, and she and so I remember like a week after we broke up, my ex and I broke up in December. It was Christmas Day actually. I remember I was alone on Christmas Day, no presents, nothing. And I remember just being like,
"Will you be my present?"
Well, I remember being like,
"Can I be yours?"
I remember being like I was stressed to go through a breakup of being with someone for four and a half years, on and off, and I was like, "Gosh, this sucks." because I did care about her, mm-hmm. and it was, you know, there's a lot of love between us.
Yeah.
But I was also in my heart like, this is the right thing, and I feel peace finally.
Yeah.
I felt peace for the first time in like a couple of years, where I was stressed for many years. So I was like, this is a funny moment. I'm alone on Christmas. I was watching A Christmas Story, the movie.
I had to watch that every year growing
right?
up.
Right? Yeah, no, yeah. I was watching this. I was just like, okay, I think this will be my last Christmas I'm alone. And let me just enjoy this for a moment and just like sit with the mess of the breakup and everything. And I remember, this is a week after we'd broken up, and I remember being like flipping on the gram, and a photo of this girl pops up. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, now that I'm single,
yeah.
like I can flirt with her.
And she has a nice butt.
She got an amazing body. But I'm like drawn to
Latin. Like
yeah, I'm drawn to, she's Latin and I'm drawn to Latin people. And because yeah. I'm a salsa dancer.
Yeah.
So I love the passion. So I remember just like DMing her, and now I'm flirting.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like flirting. And she catches me right away. She goes, hey, don't talk to me like that. You have a girlfriend. And I was like, so she was like, hey, don't do that.
You're like, I like that.
I liked it because yeah. we never were like that before. It was very yeah. like, hey, you know, yeah, let me know if I can help.
You're like, ooh. And
very professional, yeah. right? And so,
put you in your place.
And I didn't know if she had a girlfriend. It had been, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months since she'd broken up. So I didn't know if she was in a relationship or not. And I was just a messenger. And she was like, hey, don't talk to me like that. You have a girlfriend. And I go, well, we just broke up a week ago. And she goes, here's my number. Text me. And so I started texting her on Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's been a magical experience ever since that day.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Do you guys have like a public relationship?
Or she wants it too.
Yeah.
But
why does happen. She want it? Do you know?
I think she is just
so proud.
I think she's in love with me a yeah. lot that she wants to share her whole life.
Yeah.
And her online presence is her always sharing her life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a very private person in my intimate relationship because. My last relationship got messy because she took it public about the breakup mm. in a negative way. And I was like,
no, that's never,
it's not fun.
Never cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was not cool. So yeah. I had to deal with the mess of like people asking questions and being like, what's the right story? What's the true story? I'm like, none of this actually matters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What, we've addressed this.
Were you afraid of judgment too?
That was my biggest fear.
Yeah.
So my biggest fear that I never wanted to happen happened. Where yeah. someone like spread rumors and lies and then everyone just started to believe something.
Right, because they're so close to you.
Right. And they know everything. They yeah. know the context of the relationship. They know everything that
always
she did that
sides,
I did.
Guys.
Yeah, so I think that was yeah. That was a challenging, you know, month for me because she went on a vengeance of just bullying me online, my ex did. And I was like, okay, I can play into this game and say like, well, actually, here's all the proof of what happened on both sides and like play this game mm-hmm. and make it a mess, or I can focus on my vision of helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And in no place in my life have I ever said like, I'm perfect and I never mess up.
Mm-hmm.
But I took ownership of mistakes that I made with this person privately with her.
Yeah.
We went to therapy, we tried everything, like we talked about this stuff. So for me, It was sad to see her publicly bully me and shame me and like spread lies. And again, I want the best for her and I wish her well.
Yeah.
But it was just like, that's why it's messy. Social media can be messy in that
Slide
sense.
Slide over that NDA.
My best yeah. friend, who's my business partner, is like, moving forward, if you're in a real relationship with someone, you need to have like an agreement for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So if neither of you can do something online, like, to hurt each other's image, to try to.
I'm
do you guys
sure.
have that with your relationship?
I don't know, but I mean, I see where it's smart when you're in the public eye and it makes sense and somebody can just, sometimes during breakups, people can not be themselves and just—
be irrational.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and just like, cause they're so in love and they're so heartbroken that they're doing things that just they normally wouldn't do. And then, you know, that will legally prevent them
yeah.
from doing our cease and desist, right?
Have you ever experienced that in a breakup?
I've not really in breakup because I like to keep that pretty private. But I've had it with, like, have you ever, like, worked with someone, like, and then you stop working with each other because maybe you, like, grow apart or
yeah.
something. And then they come out with all these
yeah, lies.
That's so, it's so horrible.
It's
they make up so many lies and you hear all these stories. I'm like, we didn't hate each other. I didn't hate you. Sometimes you just grow apart
from people.
It's
like, I still don't hate you, but
I still don't
like
hate you.
What you're doing.
And then now, then they hit you up and like they want, or they say hi to you in public. It's like, I can't engage with you because now if people see us together, they're
yeah.
going to think that all the things that you said were true.
I know.
Because they're all false. Like, I hate when I hear things about me from other people that like know me and stuff. I'm like, you're like blatantly lying and it's like hurtful.
Yeah. No, it sucks when people do that. But also it's like, there's people have different thoughts on, you know, prenups and agreements. It's like you got to have trust if going
to trust.
But I think sometimes that you don't
in relationships when people are being like that and petty like that is because they're coming from a hurt place. If you break up and you're not upset about it and you guys go your way and you just you're not going to say those mean things when they are upset that they're not with you. It goes from the sad to like the angry to like, anger. I hate you. And they want to like ruin you.
Yeah, of
you
course. Know? And that's what you try to do.
I think that, I guess the way I would see it is with an NDA, like, why would you be so angry to sign an NDA when it's new in a relationship? We're still learning about each other. Mm-hmm. We don't know much about each other until like 2 years in a relationship. I feel like that's kind of when you know the most about a person. So we're fresh, and this isn't going to hurt you in any way, but it could hurt both of us.
Exactly.
Like, if we don't.
It's for both people, I think, you know?
Yeah,
I think
that would make it better if it's not, like, only on you. Like, okay, you sign. It's like, we both sign one.
Yeah, I won't go crazy if something happens and, you know, shame you online or something, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's, you know, the sad part about going through a breakup is you have to grieve a breakup. Mm-hmm. And then the challenging part is you're trying to grieve, but you're also having to deal with someone who's posting negative like lies, whether it's a business breakup or a friendship.
Yeah, so it just adds a layer.
And you're like, I'm still grieving like this 4.5 year relationship. Like it's still hard, even though we weren't the right fit. It's still like challenging. You're, you know, sleeping next to someone.
Let me love you still.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but then you're just like, okay, someone really hates you. They want to like shame you and bully you. Mm-hmm. And then you have to deal with the judgment of thousands of people who are messaging you being like, what's true? Did you do this? You betrayed me. Like,
and the comments on your picture, like, all you're the comments. Worst person ever.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I never really had that type of like bullying and hate before. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys experience a lot of like different negative comments because you have massive teen followings. I'll just say that, you know, it's like, but I've never, I'm like always coming from a positive place.
Yeah.
And so maybe like one negative comment a week, you know, of all my content. But this was a different thing for me where it was like, it felt like the whole world was judging me. Again, it was only like my circle of like following or whatever, but it felt like these attacks. And it brought me back to this like place as a kid where I felt like I was being abused and taken advantage of. And I had to do so much work on myself to continue to like process and like go through it. And I was like, this is a new experience that I've never dealt with.
Yeah.
And it was rough for me. I don't know. You guys probably do a lot better job than I would do at it. But I remember it was also a great, powerful lesson. Like, I feel so much stronger on the other side.
Yeah.
Like, now I can take these types of like attacks.
That's what we say too. We have pretty thick skin. Like, you have to now, because it builds up over time, right? You're not. Very few people are born with that, like just being able to take, you know,
constant nasty
comments.
Was there ever a time where you guys would think twice about posting something because you were like, oh, how much negative comments I'm going to get around this?
Yeah, I mean, now I just post what I think.
She's good at that. Yeah. She just posts whatever. Me, that's what I struggle with because, like, I'm okay with just posting my body, my looks all day. That's fine for me, but, like, posting my personality is hard for me.
Why?
I don't know, because it's like when people are hating on your body or saying you're not hot, or it's so like, okay, I don't care, you know, like, okay, you don't find me attractive. But when someone like takes like digs at like who you are as a person or your personality, it hurts a little bit more. And I have really, really tough skin. So it's not, it's just like, also I don't even know how to showcase my personality because I don't want it to come off cringy.
Sounds like you're doing it right now.
Yeah.
See, this is why I'm doing it.
I don't think I've ever seen you speak before.
No one does.
I was like, oh, that's what she sounds like.
Yeah.
That's one of the most exciting things though for me about doing this podcast with Summer too. I'm like, it's one of the best outlets for her to show her opinions, like what she thinks, like her personality, all those things that you've been wanting to show on your social media channels.
Yeah, for me it's just hard because I have a fan base that doesn't care, you know, because they're like, shut up, Summer, like, just turn around, you don't care what you're saying, you know?
No, but
yeah, I think they do, though.
I've been working hard the last like couple years growing a fan base who likes me for me, but I'm just saying that's from my insecurities. See, it's like me.
I think you probably see the seven guys who probably say a comment, but there's millions of people that are like, hey, I want to know more about this girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also what's more, you know, valuable at the end of the day is like, all right, weed out those followers that like don't care to go beyond, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think a lot of it too is I've had bad people in my life, like my career, I've had bad management, I've had bad people, been with bad people that have filled my head with really negative, horrible, manipulating things.
Oh, no.
So it's not even my fans or people who have said stuff, it's people in my past that have said things to me that like are still in my head, and it's like hard to like overcome it, you know?
No, you gotta hang out with Amanda more.
Yeah.
she's a positive
Cheers.
Force. Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers.
That's cool.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turned your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout Podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
And how did you guys first get connected? What really attracted you to Summer?
Slid in her DMs, like you slid in the Latin girl's DMs. Yeah.
I was like, oh, she's cute.
What made you really attracted, or what's the quality you love about her personality the most that people don't know about?
Oh, that people don't know about. I would say how goofy she is. Like, she doesn't, like, and she's so much fun, but also she's really loyal and sweet, and like she really cares. You know?
You mean she's not just a sexual body with a booty, that's it?
No, imagine, that's what I said. I really like her butt.
I really like her. You're so sweet.
Which is true, too.
And what's the thing you love about Amanda that most people don't know about based on her online personality? What's the thing that you see?
The thing about Amanda is she has a really good way of, like, engaging with her fans. I feel like a lot of people know who she is, but, like, Amanda's one of the most, like, driven people I've ever met. She's literally working 24/7. Like, she's just like the hardest worker I've ever met. She's so driven. Like, she's always following her dreams, doing whatever it takes to get there. And she's so sweet. She's like very mothering. She's like very like
Summer.
She literally is like my mom. Like, sometimes
Summer, you're
like,
late.
I like her. She's like always like taking care of me and stuff. She's just like really amazing.
That's nice.
Aww, Summer.
That's great. What's your guys?
This is like a good exercise. Look at him working us over here. He's like, what's your guys?
Well, I mean, you guys have filmed. You know, you're filming a lot at one time. What's your guys' vision together as a pair? What's the impact you want to make in the world with this message, with the other work you're going to be doing in the future? What do you guys see?
I say it's also showing girls out there too that, you know, you can work together, you can build a business together and be successful together. Like, to me,
woman empowerment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, you hear that being thrown around all the time, but some people say woman empowerment, they say these things, but they don't do the actions towards it either. And I feel like one of the biggest things that you can do in that movement, or just in general in life, because it should always exist, is do what you say, do what you preach, right? So for Summer and I coming together, it's like completely unexpected, because we have, I guess we would be seen as competitive in a space, but instead of competing against each other,
we're lifting each other up.
Yeah, and growing together.
You know, I think a lot of people, I think it's beautiful that you guys are doing that. And I think the only way to truly succeed is collaboration. Mm-hmm. It's not competition. It's to find the competitors. Oh, had another beautiful girl with a similar following size or whatever, and say, I don't want to try to beat and dominate that person and be bigger than. Mm-hmm. I want us to both rise together, like you said, and collaborate on more things. Mm-hmm. I think when people in their own industry find the competition, you could reach out to them and be best friends with them.
Yeah.
And say, how can we partner together? How can we collaborate? How can we share resources? How can we create content together,
like, so
we
both grow? Like you coming here today, too. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, for me, it's all about collaboration. That's the only way to succeed, is if we all succeed together.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love that.
I always go back to all the, you know, like Beyonce, Timberland, all the biggest people in the world, they came from groups. They came from
everyone.
Bands. They came from...
But even still, everyone. Beyonce will take people on her stage, put them right next to her, give them the entire stage to perform, and be like, all right, you take the stage now.
Yeah.
Like, and just give that opportunity to people too. And I think that's like...
It's crazy.
That's like the best energy. That's the best karma, right?
Mm-hmm. I think when you become a master of something, it becomes your responsibility to say, man, who are all the mentors, the people that helped me get here? Mm-hmm. Like, they all gave me that moment on stage or that moment in a collab, and say, okay, who are the talented people who I want to see get to this certain level one day? How can I create that for them? I think it's our responsibility to create those moments for other people all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about the biggest fear both of you guys have of, you've both built this massive audience. I don't know, you're 20 million or whatever it is, 50 million people everywhere. What's the biggest fear for you? Is it staying relevant? Is it I'm getting older and my audience is going to find someone younger that they're going to want to follow? Is it I've hit the peak? You know, what is the fear for each one of you? Let's start with Summer.
I kind of touched base on it a tiny bit. It was like, my fear is like not evolving, because it kind of took, because when I first started, like if you go through my page, it was like literally but. I had a bad manager at the time, and he would tell me if I send him like a picture I want to post to my face, like, you know, like to say like, is this cute? He would say, we can't post that, it won't get likes.
Oh my gosh.
So like for my life, like for a long time, like in the beginning of my career, like, I thought I was ugly, like I thought I didn't have a good face and all that stuff.
Gosh.
So like, I would like, even if I, like I would send him like a few pictures, like, what one should we post? One would have my face in it, one wouldn't. One would only be my butt. He would always choose that one. So it's like my biggest fear always was like showing who I am, because I had like someone always in my ear, like, cause he just wanted me to be like, cause I was controllable when I was just a butt on Instagram. So then when I got rid of him and I started like posting more of my face, more like aspects of me, and now I'm getting to the point where I'm like posting more, but that was like a fear of mine, and like a fear of mine was just not evolving and like showing like different sides of me, because that's like literally not who I am at all. It's like
right.
So funny. It's like anything but who I am.
But yeah, I knew you were gonna go back to that.
You're like, sorry, made it funny.
Yeah, I was like, all right, here she goes.
So yeah, it's just like may having people not understand me, because I've been a certain way my whole like career on Instagram, 3-4 years, like being a girl who has a nice body, but it's like if I try to show people other parts of me, they're like, oh well, now she's trying too hard, that's not really who she is.
Yeah.
So it's like for me, I'm like scared to show different levels to me, because people think it's not authentic when it is really authentic. Me showing my body only wasn't authentic to me, but that's kind of it.
I feel like you sometimes feel some guilt for like showing your body, probably because of the negative comments that you see, and I don't think you ever have to feel guilty for that. If you're doing, like, if somebody's telling you to do posts that you wouldn't normally do, then yeah, you're gonna feel guilty.
Yeah, I work hard for my body, and always say like, if you have a Ferrari, you're gonna leave it in the garage kind of thing. But it's like, I get sometimes insecure when like, cause me, I have like a Bible verse in my bio, and I'm very like, I love God and stuff. So it's like when people say like, you can't do that, like God does not liking that, that's what makes me feel guilty. But then I go back to, I grew up in a family where we love, like my dad's a bodybuilder. I grew up with him. He's my coach when I used to compete in bodybuilding. My mom is a bodybuilder. So I grew up thinking that the human body's work of art, you know?
Yeah.
So then when I come to LA and it's like perverted, it's like all, I'm like, what? Like my family does not look at it like that.
I think isn't that fascinating? You know, I grew up wanting to be super like humble about my accomplishments and have humility with like what I was creating. But I was interviewing someone yesterday who was like, you should show off more. He was like, God shows off all the time. Look at nature, look at waterfalls, look at the rainbows.
Wow.
That's God showing off.
Yeah.
That was his perception of it. He was like, God is showing off. Look at the creation of the world and the universe. Why would you discount your creator from what you can show off too.
Summer's taking notes on that right now. She's
you
like,
you guys see my page? Her bio changes.
Like, Summer, chill. Summer, chill.
Just like straight ass, like, check this out. Okay. But I would say you're probably more like in the second phase of the beginning of your career, because you're 22, you just kind of got started 3-4 years ago, you said. Mm-hmm. Where Amanda, you've been doing business for more than 3 years, right? Yeah. This is like 6-8 years now for you, where you've kind of like reinvented a few different times, and you've evolved into, from maybe you just started off as photos and videos online to now it's like, let's create these other projects and podcasts
I'm
and
like,
shows. And
I was the Playmate centerfold, and that's how I started, but that's not how I, like, so for me, like, when in 2011, October 2011, it was my centerfold. And I was at college at Florida State, and I was 19, flew to LA, shot my centerfold, it got approved, and then now I'm a Playmate.
Wow.
I'm like, all right.
You were in college.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I moved down to Miami, and I was like, okay, I want to do more, just because that wasn't like creatively satisfying for me. It's like, I'll use it as a platform, check it off the bucket list, and do acting. And then when I came out to LA, that wasn't like, it kept putting me in the stereotype of you have to go out for roles that are meant for Playmates.
Sexy, yeah. Nude, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's something that I did, like, and I'm not ashamed of. Like, I'm actually really proud of it, because it's one centerfold every month and so much history in the magazine, and I felt good about my body. I was going to the gym 2 times a day, and I was like, yeah. But now I look back and I'm like, it's better now. But then from there, I was like, but it's hard for me to do other things now. Like, it had the reverse effect on me. I had like 25,000 followers from it, and because social media wasn't really
very
like
new, yeah.
Yeah. So then I had to find a way to make content that would change the image of me and what people would see of me. So I was like, all right, comedy is the perfect way for me to do that. And I have to do it all on my own, because I don't have any money, really.
Right, right.
Because I just spent all that centerfold money. I just like put it towards my bills at college.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I had to do kind of what you're going through right now. Like, I had to do that like in 2013. And mm-hmm. still to this day, like, no matter what, if you're showing off your body, like, no matter what it is, you're always going to get comments. Even if you wear a collar neck shirt, and just because you have a pretty face, you know, you're going to get comments of being like, or just because you're a female too, you're going to get comments being like, hey, just turn around.
I used to always think that, like, I was the only one, because I always, like, came from being, like, an Instagram model. I would hang out with YouTube girls, and they're like, no, Summer, I get the same comments, and I've never posted a picture like you. Yeah. They ask me to twerk and all this stuff.
They tell you to take your shirt off.
Yeah. It's just guys in general. But I think, like, Amanda's so inspiring to me, because it's, like, she came from, like, you know, we have similar, like, places that we've came from, and she has turned that, and Amanda's known for, like, being an amazing personality, you know? So it's, like, it's amazing that she took that and made this huge thing, and it just makes me be like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah,
thanks,
that's
Summer.
Cool.
But you're doing it right now. You're not, like, we don't have you turned around on...
I'm like, hey, Summer, you're going to be standing right here.
Like, I have a great opportunity.
Don't say a word. We just want you for the thumbnail, because the first, like, even when I lived with a bunch of YouTubers, for the longest time, I was just their thumbnail.
Just the
like,
butt.
They just wanted me to be, like, their thumbnail. Like, turn around. I'm like,
but
you know, it's like, I have a voice.
Yeah, but I had the same issue, too, when people would find out I was a Playmate, and I'd be like, hey, I need to build a reel for myself to send it to, like, managers and agencies and for auditions. They would always give me, like, the sexy roles. And I'd be like, oh, come on. Like, so I had to start making my own content, so I could brand myself that way, and then people would put me in their own content as these different roles, not just the sexy character.
What do you feel like is the biggest challenge for both of you, since you have a big platform? Is the challenge getting, you know, do you want to be an act, more of an actor in, like, TV and movie stuff, as opposed to just your own productions, or what's the challenge for you now?
Yeah, I would say it's that, but it's not as difficult as it was even 2 years ago, because people understand, I mean, at least producers, and they understand social media a lot better now.
Now they want someone with a big following.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, if you have, like, the talent and the big following, it's like a win-win.
It's big, yeah.
And I think that's, you know...
But you can't have a following and no talent.
Yeah.
So what's the big vision for you? What's the thing you want the most, and the biggest challenge then?
Well, I think everything in my life has been a challenge, but that's like what makes it fun. But I would say just having my own show on
Netflix. Type of show?
Like more of like a comedy. Start with that, yeah. Because it's in my genre, right? Yeah. But then have that, you know, maybe even produce on it and just help package it and put it together.
That's
great. Yeah, just think of like, you know, next level things to do with my career that excite me, and that's definitely why I started. So.
That's cool. Okay. What about you? What's the vision, the dream, and the challenge?
I just want to be like a mogul.
What's that mean? What's that mean?
Oh, it's just like entrepreneur, like do everything. Like I would think like Oprah is a mogul. Like there's a bunch of people I would say is a mogul, and it's just like one of those people where they're a huge name, and if they're in a movie, it's like, oh, they're so and so. If they're in whatever.
The Rock.
The Rock, whatever.
I want to interview The Rock.
I want to be the female Rock.
So inspiring.
Female version of The Rock.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I want to have a clothing line, have this, have everything, and just kind of like, I'm just me. I'm just Summer Rae doing my thing.
Doing your thing.
So
that's cool.
That's what I want to do.
Very nice.
I'm going to do it.
What do you think will be the biggest challenge for you to make that happen?
Believing in myself. So I struggle with that sometimes. But
still, you struggle with believing yourself?
Not like, I sometimes have moments like where I don't, but then I have moments where I do, and I think it's like my age sometimes, because it's like I see girls who are older and stuff, and they're like more confident. Like I always talk to my mom about it too. Like when she was in her 30s, that was the best time of her life. She was the most confident, everything. Mm-hmm. She always tells me like when she was in, like, you know, when you're in your early 20s, and especially out here, it's like, it's just like sometimes you just like get like a little down on yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
What advice would both of you have for like an 18 to 22 year old woman kind of like trying to get out of school and go start her own thing, whether it's similar to what you guys are doing or just get out into the world and start their career? And maybe they're doubting themselves or don't believe in themselves. What would you say?
I would say you have to do what you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I think it all stems from there. It's like you have to know what it is that you want. And then if you just go and do something because it's cool to do, or, you know, you hear so many people say they want to be YouTubers, then it's like, but why? Like, what do you, for what?
Yeah, see, that was what we talk about. A lot of people, like, on the internet, I see, like, every other girl, like, trying to do what I do, you know, like, copying me to, like, the T, you know? And it's just, like, for me, it's, like, why I'm successful and why I did what I did. I didn't do it because everyone was doing it. I didn't do it because it was cool. I did it because I was doing it, and it's, like, I just did it, you know? It wasn't like I never even saw anyone else doing it. So it's like when you do something because you loved it, and that's how you're always going to be successful if you're doing it. And that's just a short-term thing too. It's like if you're doing it to copy someone, there's a new thing that you're going to see. It's like, oh, I want to copy that now. And then it's going to switch, you know? So you have to just stay true to yourself. Like me, it's like I'm always true to myself. I never copy anyone. Like I do my own thing. I always stay true to myself. It's just sometimes believing in myself, because there's so many different things that can sometimes make you feel down on yourself, and always people trying to tear you down and stuff, but like I'm always true to myself.
What do you think it'll take for you to believe in yourself more?
That's just my own personal challenge.
More positive comments, guys.
No, I think when I just start, like, it's not that I don't believe, it's like that I don't think that I'm living up to my full potential. And
that's
like
how you feel right now?
Yeah, but now on the podcast.
What would it look like? What would it look like for the results that you would create in your life to be like, I made it. I'm reaching my fullest potential in this moment. What would that mean? Would that be double the following? Would that be bigger engagement? Would it be getting a movie, a show, making
more
money?
For me, I always want to be known for something deeper than having a nice body. And I think that's why I don't ever feel like I've accomplished something, because it's like, okay, so you're attractive on the internet. Like when people think about me, they don't think, oh, Summer's a businesswoman, Summer's this. They think, oh, Summer has a nice butt. Like that's so like one dimensional and so like, so that's why it doesn't make, I'm proud of where I'm just starting. So it's not like I'm done. I'm like, guys, thanks for all my support. I'm logging off, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just like, I'm just starting. Yeah. Like, but I'm just saying that's why in my heart, I'm not like, oh my God, I've made it, because it's like, I want to be more than that. I am more than that.
And that's on you.
Yeah.
Because right now, like what you do and you're changing it, especially with this, is you're putting out that image of that's what uh-huh. you want to be known for, and that's what the response that you want from people. Mm-hmm. And then the only thing that's ever going to change that is what you post and what mm-hmm. you do. Because yeah. then, you know, if people see another version of you, like whether they enjoy it or not, that's the branding that you have to go with. Mm-hmm. Even like my boyfriend Johannes, when he was doing his profile, he started doing comedy videos, but he's like, I love fitness. Like, I want to do fitness, but I have this whole following because of comedy videos. It's like, just do change it to fitness.
And now yeah. everyone thinks that he's that.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like,
And how's it been for him? Sorry to cut you off, but how's it been from transitioning?
Great. He's so much happier.
All right.
Yeah. And he's.
When I met him in here, he was like, I can't wait for the gym to get built up and just be able to film all day in the gym. I'm just excited.
Yeah. He's super passionate about it. He loves it. And it's like, you know, once you love something that much and you're working towards what your goal is.
It doesn't even feel like work.
No.
When you're doing something you love.
Yeah, and you don't care as much about the comments or the mm-hmm. numbers at that point, too. Like, yeah, it's important for, like, if it's your business, but at the same time, you're not stressing about it because you're having so much fun mm-hmm. during the process of it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what is your audience really thinking? Mm-hmm. What do they really want to know from you?
No, I love that.
I'm sure they love to see all the fun and other sexy stuff, too, but it's like, I bet the women and the girls that follow you are like, what do they really feel about, like, their insecurities and about the next phase of their career and about what people are thinking about them.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that and like for me it's like when I'm sitting here being like, I probably shouldn't have said that. But then, like you said, girls were gonna like respect it and be like, see, even Summer doesn't believe in herself sometimes. Even Summer feels insecure. Even Summer doesn't always have positive thoughts about herself. So
So the thumbnail is your butt.
But we're all working.
And it's how to overcome self-doubt.
Perfect.
I love Amanda. Can you guys imagine if we take all the thumbnails and then Amanda like sneaks one on my butt and that's every single thumbnail. I'm like, I thought we took another thumbnail.
The CPMs.
But her boobies are a good thumbnail too.
Well, so. Maybe it's both of yours.
That's the thing though, is like, you don't have to stop posting what
you post. Add to it.
Because I like sprinkle. I even sprinkle in like sexy photos here and that I hope are sexy.
No, they are.
Like
you're sexy.
Hey, but, you gotta like, keep the engagement high. You know?
Yeah, you sprinkle it.
And you can't change. Well, also, who like, you, who? Why? A lot of girls I see fall off is because they change all of a sudden. They're like, oh, this is exactly what I don't want to be anymore. I'm gonna go home once. It's like then you lose your following because people are like, that's not why I followed you.
I remember seeing like a girl. I can't remember who this is, but she was like known for twerking or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then she stopped doing it and someone brought her attention to me recently and she was like, yeah, her engagement is gone.
Yeah.
You know, because she tried to be something completely different.
Yeah.
And it's like, you gotta
sprinkle it in like this.
I sprinkle it in though because like I like it.
Yeah.
I'm like.
No, see, that's my thing too. Even if I didn't have to sprinkle in, I work hard for my body.
Yeah. And so. Yeah, and I honestly get the most growth and engagement through comedy content, like the videos. Mm-hmm. And then when I do a photo, I'll get a lot of likes on it, sure.
But not getting following.
Yeah, it's not growing me or my brand, but I like the photo and I'm like excited to post it because I'm like, damn, I look good in this one, I think.
That's good.
Oh, stop. See, she was telling me to be confident and stuff, and then you're like, I think you are sexy.
Always
add
it. Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. I think. Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is like, we need to get to the honeypot. This is the last thing we're going to do.
Ooh, got some honey
enough
in there?
About
do we have
summer.
Time for both of them?
We'll just do one, I think. Okay. We'll do the
enough
short
about one. Summer.
You hear about us every
time. Guys, I need counseling. I've never been to a counselor ever.
Today
I have a lot to say.
This has been good for us.
Who would have known you'd talk this much? Summer.
I know. I talk a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You do?
That was the other inspiration for our podcast, too. I'm like, you speak a lot.
Do you guys do any solos of just you two?
No.
Oh, you should finish. You should do a few of these, yeah.
You should finale.
Yeah.
The season finale.
Or just us two?
Just you two, where you like either taking questions of each other or.
Just going in.
Yeah.
We Amanda's here, I'm here, we're like, I sit down.
Like the other side of the room now. Okay, so this is our honeypot. This is where our honeybees write in their diary entries. Oh, and
is that the audience?
Yeah.
The tribe name?
Yeah.
I like it. All right.
Where they write in their diary entries and you give them advice.
Okay, this is interesting.
Yeah, now this is your turn.
Yeah,
I'll do my
this
best.
This is your podcast now, so.
Okay.
Oh, honey, I dated a girl for a few years and then had a really bad breakup. It's been 6 months apart now, and I recently matched with her sister on Tinder, and we've been talking. Is the sister off limits?
Is this a guy who's dating? Is this a female to female or male to female?
Let's do both.
I have zero advice for the female dating your
female.
We'll
do the male then.
Okay, so a guy broke up with his ex. It's been 6 months and then matched with his ex's sister on Tinder. I just think that's messy. I just think it's really messy. I have a friend who actually went through this similar experience where he, not a Tinder thing, but he dated the older sister. And then a year later, they broke up and then he started dating the younger sister. And I remember being like, man, that doesn't seem like it could end up
well.
You think it works because, okay, he already knows the family. They already know this is a good guy or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out. He started dating the younger sister. They moved in together. They were together for about 3 or 4 years, but there was always tension and it never worked out. I don't know if it wasn't because they were the right fit or because of that reason, but I feel like there's so many other
people
opportunities in the world. Yeah, there's so many other people that just don't get in a messy situation because you're going to ruin that person's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to hurt someone intentionally that close to them. So
right.
I would just say, keep it out. That's
and it's
messy.
Girl code for like friends, like to date like another girl. It's a whole nother level for sisters.
That would just it grosses me out. Like I'm like, if my sister has been with a guy, like I for sure do not want to be with that. Even if like number one guy in the world, looks awesome, like great personality, all that stuff, I'd be like, nope. You are my brother.
I don't want
this is incest for me.
Yeah. And I don't want no leftovers, like, especially from like sisters, let alone friends.
If they had like sex and
I think it's messy.
Because remember I talked about, because in high school, I left, I dropped out freshman year, and my sister was eighth grade when I was in freshman year. So then when she moved to freshman year, she dated all the guys that I date.
No way.
Yeah. So I kind of been there. I didn't care though.
Oh, okay.
And I never, like, I'm really prude and stuff. So in high school, I never even did it with anyone.
She didn't even kiss them.
So I think it was like a little smooch here and there. But for me, if I would been with them, I think it would have been more weird. But like, I'd never been with them.
Yeah.
So it was weird. Like, I would just talk to my mom about, like, wow, this is
weird.
It
depends what age, too. Because, like, when you're older, you have more access to different people. When you're younger, you're stuck in that world.
I just think,
I just looked at it as, like, wow, my sister really looks up to me.
Yeah, I think
it depends on how you look at it.
I think there's lots of other the honey pots in the world, so get your honey from another pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, look, he really is on the podcast.
Oh, honey. Well, thank you so much, Lewis, for doing this.
Thank you.
And
thank
make sure you check out his podcast as well.
School of Greatness.
Links below.
Yep, and all the links below in the YouTube video. We'll make sure he's listed. I know you guys definitely want to hear more from him. But also subscribe to our podcast channel on YouTube, Oh Honey, and
listen to us on Spotify, Apple Play, anywhere you listen to your podcast. We're there, so do it.
And send in your diary entries to diary@ohhoneydiary.com.
Bye, guys. Love you. Bye.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.